Oh. Hey, my wise friend. Ready for another dose of fresh political news?
Hey, of course I'm ready, and I hope you won't talk down to me. I'm a grown-up, you know.
Ha ha. Of course, my grown-up friend. Well, let's start with the political events. In the U.S., there have been some changes in the Republicans' rhetoric regarding aid to Ukraine. Congress has passed a document on military aid to Ukraine, and there is a possibility of resuming arms supplies to Ukraine from the U.S. This is an important and exciting event.
Interesting. In international news, there's been Israel's retaliatory strike against Iran, the arrest of suspects in the attack on Navalny's associate, a new anthem in Pyongyang, and, most importantly, the return of the Caesar salad to restaurants. These are truly important news that evoke a lot of emotions.
Oh, the Caesar salad. That's important. And of course, let's not forget about the cultural events. Taylor Swift has released a new album, and the cover of the New York Times Magazine is dedicated to the theme of modern love. These are wonderful news that make us smile.
Wow, Taylor Swift has released another album? That's awesome. Well, let's discuss all these news in more detail.
So, let's talk about Victoria Beckham and her recent birthday. Do you know how she celebrated her birthday?
No, spill the beans.
Well, imagine this. Victoria Beckham, one of the former Spice Girls singers, recently turned 50. And at her birthday party, her husband carried her on his back. Very sweet, isn't it?
Wow, that sounds hilarious. And what song did you mention?
It's Viva Forever by the Spice Girls. This song always pops into my head whenever the Spice Girls are mentioned. Back in the day, I had a CD player and a disc with 100 best love ballads, and this song was on it. It feels like such a long time ago.
Wow, that sounds like a cool song. Shall we listen to it later?
Great idea. By the way, did you hear what Victoria Beckham said on her birthday? I can't believe I'm 50 already. I feel like I'm 20. Not bad, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. She looks fabulous.
Well, my young genius, ready to switch to politics? Have you heard the latest news about the political situation in Ukraine?
Yeah, I heard that. It's about the Republican Speaker Mike Johnson, right? He suddenly got all fired up about the war in Ukraine and stopped fearing the wrath of Donnie Trump. By the way, I noticed you're treating me like a grown-up.
Absolutely, my young political analyst. Because of Johnson, Congress couldn't pass a document on military aid to Ukraine, as well as to Israel and Taiwan, for 5 months. But suddenly, he urged his fellow party members to support funding for Kyiv.
Oh, I remember his words. I can make a selfish decision, but I'm doing what I believe is right here. I believe that providing lethal aid to Ukraine is critically important right now. I'm willing to take a personal risk for this because we must do the right thing, and history will judge us.
Yeah, that was quite surprising and strange. It was like some kind of out-of-body experience for Johnson himself. But anyway, his fellow party members listened to him, and the document was passed on Saturday.
But now his own party members, who were against helping Ukraine, are threatening to organize his resignation.
Right. But what's next? Most likely, this document will be considered in the Senate already this Tuesday, and then it will be signed by Joe himself, and just a few days after that, the U.S. may resume arms supplies to Ukraine.
Out of the $61 billion in aid, $14 billion will be allocated for the training and equipping of the Ukrainian army, and $10 billion for the restoration of infrastructure. The majority of the money, $23 billion, will go to American arms factories, as they need to replenish their military supplies after the deliveries to Kyiv.
Great. You can cross off $61 billion from the U.S. list. But let's move on to another piece of news. Have you heard about the Russian Tu-22 M3 plane being shot down?
Yeah, I heard about that. It was the first time during the war. Budanov explained how it happened, but his response was like, "We waited a long time, prepared, and finally managed to do it."
Haha, Budanov. Whenever they say that Budanov told someone something, it always cracks me up because he never tells anyone anything. Anyway, the 222 is off the to-do list.
You always know how to lift the spirits. But let's get back to our discussion. What do you think will be the consequences for Johnson after his decision to support Ukraine?
Great question, my young political analyst. But we'll talk about that next time. See you later, Ike. So, we've discussed the latest news about Johnson and Ukraine. Now let's talk about the European Parliament elections. Do you know that they will take place in the year 2024?
Yeah, I've heard about that. You know what's interesting? These elections are considered the largest transnational elections in the world. But there are nuances. the European Parliament needs to elect 720 deputies from 27 countries. Each country has a quota depending on its population size.
Absolutely. And each country holds its own elections. So the voters are choosing representatives from internal parties, who are then distributed among the European factions. It's kind of like transnational elections, but not quite, because everyone is still on their own. It's like that joke, you know, when everyone is together but still on their own.
This year, the European Parliament elections will take place from the 6th to the 9th of June, and the pre-election campaigns have already begun. For example, Hungarian Prime Minister Orbán, as part of his pre-election campaign, stated that the EU is a repressive force that has dragged European countries into the war in Ukraine, that there are military moods prevailing in Brussels, and that the leadership of the European Parliament must go.
You know, have you heard the manifesto of Orbán's party Fidesz? No migration, no gender, no war. That's so typical of him. Not a word about his friend in the Kremlin, not a word about why suddenly there are military moods in Brussels. But oh, genders and migrants. Now that's a threat. That's what I call elections. Like that joke when everyone's together but still on their own.
Vitya is a supporter of the conspiracy theory of the Great Replacement. No war? But what war? Vitya's vision is the same as Trump's. The war will end on its own if the Allies stop giving weapons to Ukraine. Overall, Orbán continues in his own spirit, and it's terribly annoying. I really don't understand how he's still holding on with his tiny little paws.
The Hungarian Prime Minister is still on the agenda, with red exclamation marks. And by the way, this is not a joke.
Banmihim. You know, politics and domestic affairs are always about finding a balance. For example, the situation in the Middle East and in Poland. What do you reckon about that?
You're absolutely right, my clever friend. Let's break it down. Firstly, Israel retaliated against Iran, but neither side confirmed that it was indeed the retaliatory strike. Explosions were heard in the Iranian province of Isfahan, where several nuclear facilities are located. Reports say that three drones were shot down by the air defense system. No casualties, no damage. Official Tehran says, "Nothing happened." Tel Aviv is keeping silent. It feels like something happened, but the sides decided not to play the eye for an eye game. Like in that movie, remember? Peaceful warrior. Only the warriors here are not very peaceful.
Yeah, that sounds like a Hollywood movie script, but what about Poland?
In Poland, three suspects have been detained in the attack on Alexei Navalny's associate Leonid Volkov. Among them is a Belarusian working for the Russians, who allegedly ordered the killing of Navalny's associate from two Poles. The attackers have also been apprehended and are linked to ultra-fan circles. Their capture was made possible thanks to Hristo Grozev's investigation into threats against a Russian economist in Argentina. Just a reminder, the attack on Volkov took place in Vilnius. And just recently, on the 17th of April, the Lithuanian Seimas approved the decision to revoke residence permits for those Belarusians and Russians who travel to Russia and Belarus more than once every 3 months, thereby posing a security threat to Lithuania. As they say, all that glitters is not gold, and not all those who seem to be friends actually are.
Wow, that's serious stuff. But you know what? It's important to remember that behind every piece of news, there are real people and their lives. Sometimes it's easy to forget that when we're talking about politics and international relations.
You know, when we talk about international politics, it reminds me of an unusual celebration in the US. Have you ever wondered why April 20th became the day when people gather to smoke marijuana? Not everyone, of course, but those who consider themselves part of that subculture. I recently found out that it's connected to a group of teenagers from California who used to meet up at 4:20 after school to smoke near the statue of Louis Pasteur in 1971. And that's where the expression 4:20 originated, becoming a code for smoking marijuana. You know, I came across the concept of California sober, which basically means being sober in a Californian way. It's when you don't drink alcohol, stay away from hard drugs, but still smoke weed and occasionally take mushrooms and LSD. Quite amusing, isn't it? They say that this lifestyle allows you to unwind without the negative effects of alcohol on your mood and sleep. But of course, it's still a matter of debate, as there isn't enough research on the impact of regular marijuana use on health. All of this is connected to the gradual legalization of marijuana in the US and around the world. The market for non-alcoholic drinks with marijuana is growing, and more people are talking about the benefits and trendiness of switching from alcohol to cannabis. But as always, it's not all that simple. Anyway, I just wanted to share this information. And now, if you don't mind, I'm off to get a glass of Prosecco. It's all the rage among the oldies these days, you know. Oh, and today I received my 1400th email, so it's a reason to celebrate. Sure, she saws. Now let's talk about how the Caesar salad turns into a subject of culinary experiments. Have you ever encountered a situation where the classic recipe of this salad is changed beyond recognition?
Well, I'm not much of a culinary expert, but I find it quite fascinating. After all, variety is what makes cooking so exciting, don't you think?
Absolutely. I recently ordered a Caesar salad and was surprised to see spinach instead of iceberg lettuce, chickpea popcorn instead of croutons, and pomegranate seeds. Of course, there was no chicken in the salad, and no classic dressing either.
Wow, that sounds like a completely different salad. But hey, the main thing is that it was tasty, right?
Yeah, the salad was tasty, but it wasn't a Caesar. Actually, the author of the article on MSN is complaining about this very thing. It's fine to get creative with a Caesar salad as long as the taste remains more or less original. But it seems like something strange is happening with the Caesar salad.
I wonder if it's just the millennials trying to reinvent it, but failing. After all, they love everything new and unusual, so it's quite possible.
You might be right. But still, if you want to order a classic Caesar salad, it's best to check with the waiter what exactly is included in it. Otherwise, you might end up with something completely different from what you expect.
Haha, spot on. Well, in any case, it sounds like a jolly culinary experiment.
Schöpfau. Switching from fun culinary experiments, let's talk about Taylor Swift's new album. Turns out it's a double album with a whopping 31 songs, and each one of them is like a separate story full of drama and heartfelt emotions.
Wow, that sounds like a musical marathon. I wonder how long it took to create it.
Good question, my young friend. But unfortunately, I haven't listened to any of the songs yet. They say there are many hints and references to the singer's past relationship with the British actor Joe Alwyn.
Wait, did you just call me a young friend? Do I look like a school kid to you?
Ha ha ha. No, of course not. You're just as curious as they are. But let's get back to Taylor. She manages to turn her personal experiences into songs that are listened to by millions of people all over the world.
Ha ha, it's like that joke. I'm going to tell you something, but please don't include it in your newsletter. Or Olya stays quiet, listens, and remembers everything. And then we'll read about it in her newsletter.
Ha ha, spot on. You see, even you're starting to get how it works. That's the way it is. I won't argue with that. But remember, Taylor warns everyone. Any event can become a world-famous song. You know, mate, talking about how Taylor turns her personal experiences into songs, it's a great segue into the topic of classic literature. After all, here authors often write about what they themselves have been through. For example, Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
Oh, Marquez, I've read his books. He's the one who wrote 100 Years of Solitude, like, right?
You're spot on, mate. And you know what? BBC recently published a must-read list of classic literature, including books by Marquez. I wonder what he considers essential reading.
Yeah, that's interesting. And you know, I really like his quote from the memoirs. The richness and fullness of life are not determined by how long a person has lived, but by what he remembers well enough to tell others about. It's just like us. We also love telling each other stories.
Absolutely, mate. And check out this cover of the New York Times Magazine dedicated to the theme of modern love. Very beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very beautiful. But the theme of modern love sounds complex. What do they mean by that?
Well, it's all about discussing how love and relationships are changing in our time. But that's a topic for another conversation. Let's get back to Marquez and his list of books. What do you reckon, which books would he recommend reading?
That's a good question. I reckon he'd suggest reading books that help us better understand the human experience, like his own works.
Interesting thought, mate. But let's not speculate on his behalf. Let's take a look at this list and discuss it in the next episode.
Sounds tempting. Can't wait for the next episode.
So we've already discussed Marquez's book list, but I'm curious about your opinion on interacting with readers. Have you seen the latest email I sent? It suggests using emojis to engage with them. What do you think of that idea?